Good morning. Oh, they got you awake. That's good. That's a good thing. We are in our 30-week study of Believe. It's 10 session segments, 10 core beliefs of the Christian faith, which we have covered. 10 core practices, the way we live out what we believe, and we're in the midst of that. Today is week 18. We will follow two more messages with the Easter weekends, and then we'll finish this up with the final 10 sessions on core values. I don't know about you, but it's been an exciting journey for me. It's been very challenging. We have small groups studying this, Sunday school classes using this material, junior church going through it, and then our preaching series. And we have tried to balance all of that so as to not get the same thing, but more of the same each week. So it's kind of interesting when we go through the book, and I hope all of you have a book. If not, let us know. We'll see if we can find you one now. It's just kind of interesting. As we read just what's in the book, it's like each one of those could be a series, couldn't they? You could just make a study out of each one of those. So it's kind of interesting, too, to take that material and bring it down to 30 minutes or so. And not be hitting on the exact same thing all the time. So it's been good. It's challenged us. And Jeff and I have really enjoyed working together on a lot of these and the ideas that we get to share back and forth day to day. If you've missed any of these, you can go to our website, MuhammadChristian.org. Those sermons are online. You can pick up a CD after each service in the foyer. And lots of ways to enjoy and to refresh your memories. Today we're looking at number 18, offering my time. After waiting more than an hour and a half for her date, the young lady decided she had been stood up. So she changed from her dinner dress into pajamas and slippers, fixed some popcorn and ice cream, and resigned herself to an evening of watching television. No sooner had she flopped down in front of the TV when the doorbell rang. You guessed it, there stood her date. He took one look at her and just dropped his head and gasped, "I'm 2 hours late, and you're still not ready." We talk a lot about time, more than we are even conscious of. We don't have enough time. We pass the time. We waste time. We spend time. And we try to make time. Time is on our side. Time heals all wounds. Time is money. Time is of the essence. Only time will tell. No time like the present. Take all the time you need. We're making good time. I used to have a bumper sticker that said, "I'm lost, but I'm making good time." We make up for lost time. Time well spent. A simpler time. A quiet time. A waste of time. A time to relax. Just in time. Quality time. Party time. Good times. The time of my life. Time flies in His time, God's timing. It's about time, overtime. Time is running out and seems like we're living on borrowed time. Time is important to us. Time management is crucial in our everyday lives, and the way we use our time says a lot about our priorities. For this reason, time is indeed a very precious commodity, as well as being an equalizing factor for all of us. The most valuable thing you can share with anyone, especially your loved ones, is your time. We can give money, we can share resources, and that is important. But the one thing all of us has in equal amounts daily is time. We can use it for good or bad. We can value it or we can squander it. But what we don't want to do is come to the end of it and regret the way we've used it. How many of you struggle with time? How many of you struggle with being late at times? How many of you wish you had a better handle on your time? And one more question. How many of you believe the way we manage our time is a spiritual issue? There's an old adage about the blessings that God gives us, I think applies very well to the gift of time. I'm sure most, if not all of you, have heard it. The time God gives to us is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift to God. So the main question is simply, what are you doing with your gift of time? The Greeks understood that truth so much they had two words for time. The first was chronos. Chronos is the word for sequential time, for chronological time. It's time that's measured in days and hours and minutes and seconds. The second word is kairos. It means a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action, the opportune and decisive moment. It's a word used for a window of time, for an opportune time. The time is right for something to happen. It has to do with a period of time that opens itself up, and one needs to make the most of it when it does, because it may or may not ever come your way again. And the problem is, we don't always operate on kairos time. We fill our calendars with one task or meeting or event after the next until it is full. And because it is, we often miss those kairos moments when they come by. Barbie's grandmother was one of the sweetest ladies you'll ever meet in your life. Much of how her mother got her sweetness, I'm sure. She had two kairos moments pass her by. One was when Colonel Sanders came to her and asked her to invest in his idea of Kentucky Fried Chicken. She said, no, everybody fixes their own fried chicken. Who would pay for somebody else's fried chicken? So she did not invest in Kentucky Fried Chicken. The other was when she was approached with the opportunity to buy stock in an up-and-coming new idea called Coca-Cola. Well, who would drink carbonated beverages? So that idea passed by. I've often thought of just those two kairos moments. Just one share in each of those from the startup. Can you imagine? Kairos moments may or may not come ever again. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 139 and verse 16, the days, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We only have so much chronos time. And we have even fewer kairos moments along the way. I think that's why Paul tells us to wake up and pay attention to how we're living our life. In Ephesians chapter 5, he writes, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Kairos. Because the days are evil. The message reads, so watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance, kairos, you get. These are desperate times. In this letter to the Ephesians, Paul is hammering home this idea that there was an old way that we lived, the way the world lives. But now, because we are Christ followers, we have a new way to live. Here he basically says there are basically two ways we can live this life. Two ways we can use our time. We can use our time to be unwise or to be wise. Wise people make the most of every opportunity, Kairos. As Jesus followers, as believers, we are to watch for those moments or those seasons when there is an opportunity. And when we see them, we have to snatch them. We have to purchase them. We have to redeem them. We must make the best use of our time, realizing it will not come again. The reason we need to make good use of our time, he says, is because the days are evil. Impurity, greed, sexual immorality, the lack of acknowledgement of God permeated the days of Paul, as they do ours. We cannot let those Kairos moments get away from us. But the reality is, we often do, don't we? We can all look back and recount many missed opportunities, can't we? Sometimes it's because we allow our chronos time, our calendars, to be filled up with busy things that just don't lend themselves to even noticing the Kairos moments that come by. Other times fear holds us back from seizing that moment, and it leaves us walking away thinking, I wish I had said, or boy, if I could just do that over again. And I'm sure there are a dozen other reasons we let those moments slip by. So how do we prepare ourselves to snatch up those Kairos moments? If we want to come to an understanding of God's will in how to make the most of our time, then we just simply need to look at how Jesus spent His time. Look at who He spent it with. And by the way, He didn't just spend it with churchy people all the time, did He? Look at the moments He captured for God's purposes. Many people miss this verse in John chapter 5. John records Jesus as saying, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And we could make that our motto, only simply saying, I tell you, I can do nothing by myself. I can only do what I see Jesus doing. Because whatever Jesus does, I do too. It all boils down to two major things. Jesus watched for opportunities to love God and to love people. You can't schedule that with chronos time. You can't write opportunities to love God and to love other people on your calendar. That means, parents, you only have a limited amount of time to influence your kids toward Christ. Several studies have found that church attendance practices of parents, especially fathers, highly influence the forming of future church attendance practices of their children. In short, if a father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife's devotions, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. But please wrap your mind around this. I'm going to try to do this slowly. If a child is the first to become a Christian in the household, there is a 3.5% chance that everyone else in the family will follow that child. A child will lead them. 3.5%. If the mother is the first in the household to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability that everyone else in the family will follow. However, when the father is the first in the family to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the family will follow. Dads, if you really want to do right by your family, lead them to Christ. It's quite obvious the devil is snatching up every opportunity he has to take your children's and your family's focus off of God. Dads, you need to take every opportunity to put their focus back where it belongs. It also means we only have a limited time to love our neighbor, to make an impact. Workers, students, you only have a limited number of lunch opportunities or casual chat times where someone might be opening up to you so they can find God. You should be alert to those times and ready to redeem those times. In the rest of Ephesians, Paul tells us to redeem the time in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, in our workplace, and he tells us it won't be easy. It will be a battle that calls for us to put on the full armor of God and take a stand against the devil's schemes. Let's remind ourselves of some basics. First, basic time principles. Number one, we all have the same amount of time. 24 hours a day. None of us gets more, none of us get less. Secondly, we all have all the time we need. Our days are numbered. God has a plan for our lives, and He's given us enough for us to accomplish that plan. When we come to the end of our life, there may be some things we didn't want to do. But worse than that, there may be some things God had wanted us to do that we didn't. Thirdly, when we are pressured by time, it usually means we're either doing the wrong things or we're doing the right things the wrong way. Having said that, look at some basic time management principles. Are you ready? Plan your time. If you don't, others will. Secondly, leave room for the unexpected. Be flexible with your time. Every time I set an appointment with somebody, I always say the same thing. Just let me know if anything comes up. I'll do the same. My calendar, now those of you that know this, just say, my calendar is in pencil. Why? Because things come up. Things that have to be taken care of. Sometimes a winter storm comes up. Had an appointment that evening. Had to reschedule. It's okay, I've got an eraser on the other end of my appointment maker. Sometimes things come up in your life and you can't schedule them. They just happen. And so call me. I'll change my calendar with yours. Be flexible. If you don't, you panic every time something unexpected comes up. You know people like that? I know none of you are like that. But do you know people maybe in your home that are? So make room for the unexpected. Thirdly, do one thing at a time and finish it. Keep a to-do list. Few things equal the feeling of satisfaction as completing a task. It's almost comical to sit in our offices sometime between Jeff and I and hear one of us say, "Woo, job two done." Now that mean? I go home, what's that mean? I go, job three. Any of you ever run out of jobs? Now, along with number three, number four is separate the important from the urgent. Prioritize your to-do list. Some things really can wait till tomorrow. Some can't. Be proactive and train yourself to do the important things first. If you do, you'll find you have time to get the other activities on your list. Or you may just find some of those didn't need to be there in the first place. Number five, learn to say no. You cannot do everything for everyone. You cannot be everywhere everyone wants you to be. You cannot do it all. Learn to say no. Don't get in a habit of it. Number six, be decisive. Make up your mind. James says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And that man should not think he'll get anything from the Lord. More than that, if you're double-minded, you ought not think you're going to get anything done. Be decisive. How many of you have seen the new commercial for Lay's potato chips? The guy that can make a decision just like that. And then he comes into work, and they have two new flavors of Lay's potato chips. And he eats one, and he says, oh, that one. Then he eats the other one, he says, no, that one. He goes, whoa, what just happened? I couldn't make a decision. There are a lot of people who just can't make a decision. Be decisive. Number seven, write it down. Just ask yourself how many times you have missed something or someone very important, and your only real excuse was, I forgot. We get that a lot at church. We put it in the bulletin. It's on the website. Sometimes it's on the slide if you get here early. Just had to say that. I forgot. Write it down. Even things at church, write it down. We have a variety show coming up. You know when? What time? All right. Now, how many of you are going to forget that? You know? Come Sunday the 13th, we're going to talk about the variety show, and half a dozen people are going to go, was that this weekend? Yeah, write it down. Sandy, that didn't cost you anything extra. Dixie, that was free. That was free, okay? Got that? Number eight, take time to rest. For many people, this is the forgotten time management commitment. Take time to rest. Let me tell you something. God knows resting is important for us. Resting is one of the big ten. When He gave Moses the Ten Commandments, He carved these words in stone. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. It is a day of rest. On it you shall not do any work. In Exodus 23:12, it says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work. Rest. So that, you see, it's not just for you, this is for everybody around you. So that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that your slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you, so that everybody and everything around you may be refreshed. Rest refreshes you. Take time to rest. Look at the price we pay for not resting. We have broken all the clocks of our own bodies. It's created a society where more than 30% of the people in America need medication for anti-anxiety. We break the natural laws of rhythm. We're out of sync with who God has made us to be. We can't sleep because we can't disconnect. Sleep deprivation is a problem, and it impacts our souls. When our bodies are all wound up, our souls become restless. We all need to take a break. We all need to be refreshed. It's important. It's essential to a good life and to good health. We don't need to be tethered to our jobs 24/7. Give yourself a rest. Even God rested on the seventh day, not because He was tired. He wasn't worn out from all that creating stuff. He rested to pause and look over what He had done. Genesis 1:31 tells us God saw all He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day, and on the seventh day, what? God rested. He took time to look it over. Man, that's great. Take time to rest. Another old adage echoes through the years. Don't spend so much time making a living, you forget to make a life. Our time should be like our money, in the hands of God, to be used for His glory and not ours. So, what can you do to make the best use of your time? Well, number one, account for your time. By that I mean this, take a week or two would be better and write down what you're doing and who you're doing it with. Now, not minute by minute, but in blocks of time, 2-3 hour times. From 8 till 11 today, I was with and I was doing this. From 11 to 2, I was with and doing this. On and on. For every day for just a couple of weeks. So account for your time and then analyze it. How do you see the way you're spending your time? How do you see the people you're spending it with? Are your unwise moments with this group of people? Maybe you need to change that group of people. How do you see the time you spend and the people you spend it with contributing to your efforts to live the best life you can for the Lord? So account for your time. Secondly, as you look at that, pray about what adjustments you need to make. It may be time to make some hard decisions about how you're spending your time. We have to look at what we're currently doing in these four areas and then ask the questions. First of all, what am I currently doing that works? Where am I being wise with my time? If that's working for you, guess what? Keep doing it. Secondly, what am I currently doing that doesn't work? Where am I being unwise with my time? If you're wasting time here on these things or with these people, thirdly, what needs to be added that's new? Where can I fulfill God's purpose in a place that I'm not? What area of my life do I need to really bolster up and strengthen for Him? And if you really want to add time, there's only one way to do that. So then you have to ask what needs to be subtracted. Where can I make time for what I really need to be doing? If I need an extra hour today just to study His Word, what can I take an hour away from? And you know which column to look for that first, don't you? This is more than time management. It's offering our time for God's purposes. It's realizing God doesn't want a portion of my time. He wants all my time. He wants us to use the time He's given us wisely. So we're becoming the people He wants us to be. Living our lives so as to fulfill His purposes in the world through us. To see people come to know Christ. To see God's love in places of brokenness. To see people grow up in faith and become mature. These questions might help as you look at that list. How would Jesus have used this time if He were in my shoes? Would He have gone where I went today? Would He have read what I read? Would He have watched what I watched? Would He have worked like I worked? Is there something God is calling me to do that I need to add to my schedule? I need to visit someone? You know, every time you say, I've been meaning to get around to, or I've been meaning to do, that's the Holy Spirit tug on you saying, look, you keep on, you're going to look back and find out you've been meaning to do a lot of things you haven't done. Is there a ministry activity I really need to be more involved in? Or do I really need to take some rest? Once you know where your time is going and you've analyzed the adjustments you need to make, then the third step is pretty simple. Then make it. I always remember the little boy that came home with a quiz for his dad and said, Dad, I have a quiz for you. He said, a riddle for you. He said, what's that? He said, three frogs were sitting on a log. Pete, repeat, and repeat again. Pete decided to jump off the log. How many were left on the log? And Dad first thought, well, two. And he said, no, because if Pete did it, then repeat would do it. And then if repeat did it, repeat again would do it. So he said, there's none on the log. And the son said, no, Dad, there are three frogs on the log. What do you mean? He said, well, I just said that Pete decided to jump off the log. I didn't say he did. So you can't decide these things need to be done and make any difference unless what? Unless you do it. So once you analyze that time, you see where you can make some adjustments and make the quality of your time much better, then you got to do it. Make those adjustments. Again, be proactive in making necessary changes to your schedule. Seek and enlist the help of others if you need to keep you accountable. Do what must be done to make your time count. Chronos moments are disappearing with each second. Our Kairos moments are too. Let's make the best use of them both. I don't know about you, but I want my time to be used for something good. And I know I'm tempted to waste it. I'm tempted to spend too much time in front of the TV or the computer and not enough time face to face with other people. I'm tempted to use my time in ways that bring me temporary satisfaction rather than in ways that make an eternal difference. Whether one goes to heaven or hell is dependent upon whether or not during a person's life he or she took just 1 minute of time to give his or her life to Jesus Christ and make a decision to live for Him. How many of those opportunities, kairos, have we let go by? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you're looking for another way, tell me how that works out for you. Peter said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." Your clock is ticking, and it's letting you know that time is running out to do what God requires of you. The first step is getting saved. We've had many kairos, many opportunities to accept Christ. I don't know how many more you're going to have. But Peter said it's really rather simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As you begin this new life, you'll have a helper all along the way. The second step, then, is to live the life God has for you. The psalmist teaches us this prayer: "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." What do you do with the gift of time? God first, family second, everything else comes after that. Now that doesn't mean that everything else isn't important. It just means that everything else has a right time and a right place. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "There for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." But Jesus said, first seek what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. The greatest of all the commandments is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, your neighbor as yourself. There's a time for everything. And the time for my message today is up. Father God, this morning, we've spent some precious time, time that we cannot get back, time that we cannot have a do-over with. It's simply time that we have redeemed with something. My prayer is that it has been something very valuable and helpful to each one. For we have spent this time in lifting our voices in praise to You. We've spent this time lifting one another up in prayer. We've used this time to be together with those of like precious faith and break bread as we remember what You did for us through Christ on the cross. And to remember that glorious promise that He's coming again. We spent this time, hopefully, in Your Word in a way that not only helps us to understand Your Word, but to apply it to our lives. You have given us a number of days. Before one of them came to be, You numbered them all. And through Paul, You've given us the admonition to use this time wisely, not unwisely. And Father, I hope we've used this as an opportunity to examine ourselves and say, well, what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with the opportunities, the kairos moments that You placed before me to accept Christ as my Savior? Have I kept saying like those of old, some more convenient day, or I need to think about it a little more, or I need to work on it a little bit, or I need to work on me a little bit? How many of those kairos moments to accept You are we going to let go by? I pray that we will see the devil's scheme in that and take a stand today and say no more. I'm coming to Jesus just as I am. And for others, Father, I hope we'll take a look at our lives and say, you know, I've been a Christian a long time. And as I analyze my time just in my head today as we're sitting here thinking, I'm doing a lot of things that I ought not to be and not doing a lot of things I should. And yet, Father, there are some great things about my life that You've blessed, and I hope that others are being blessed because of what I'm doing. Now just help us to get all of that balanced in a way that will help us to use our time wisely. And forgive us where we have not. In Jesus' name, amen.